Good morning. First, I'd like to acknowledge my coworkers who did most of the work here, George Ream and John Lamb in our extension group at the University of Minnesota. I just have the task of putting all this together. This is a scene we see on our calcareous soils out in western Minnesota all too often on our in soybeans. We see these patches of yellow beans. We've had a heck of a time with explaining what's going on here in response to environmental conditions. We have large year-to-year variation in iron deficiency chlorosis. Sometimes it's bad when it's warm and dry, sometimes it's worse when it's cool and wet, and then we get these strange green wheel tracks that go across chlorotic areas. Today I'm going to talk about how we can better explain this by considering nitrate as a factor. Here you can see these wheel tracks, right here, here, here. This is from the tractor that towed the cultivator in the spring. Now, some farmers have said, well, gee, if we've got this wheel tracks out here from compaction, maybe we should compact the whole field. However, we don't recommend that. What are the factors that we've seen out here? Of course, these are calcareous soils, high calcium carbonate equivalents. We have alkaline pH values, typically about 8. Soil bicarbonate, that is soil solution bicarbonate, is an important factor here. That's why I underlined it. Soil moisture is a factor. Increasing soil moisture gives us more chlorosis. DTPA, extractable iron, sometimes is weakly correlated with chlorosis, but it's not a very good test for us, and we don't use it as a predictive test. Soil nitrate, there's been a paper in Agronomy Journal in October showing that end fertilization decreased the yield of a sensitive variety due to increased chlorosis. Soybeans are strategy one plant as far as chlorosis goes. They respond to iron stress by releasing protons and reductants. The reductants here, represented by electron, cause reduction of the iron to mobile iron 2+, which is taken up by the plants, and this is promoted by acidity. So if you increase the pH and buffer it at a higher pH, you increase the chlorosis. In our calcareous soils, where we see IDC, we have finely divided pedogenic carbonates, residue of our prairie potholes that have been drained for agriculture, and we have hot spots. It's not uniform across fields. Soybeans, like other strategy one plants, respond to increased moisture in calcareous soils by becoming increasingly chlorotic. These are some data we got years ago, one of my former students, Bill Inskeep. We grew soybeans in pots and increased the soil moisture. These were harvested at the third trifoliate stage, and those are the three leaves. And you can see when we get up to 44% moisture, we have a severely chlorotic plant. If you look up on the chemical equations up on the left-hand side there, this shows what happens. So water in the soil pores, we reduce the air field porosity, CO2 builds up, the partial pressure of CO2 drives CO2 to dissolve as carbonic acid, which is in a well-buffered system like this. We get bicarbonate and donating 2 protons to the buffering, that's the soil, knocking off calcium, magnesium, or potassium. This shows you some of the data we got from our field trials, our field monitoring. What we did here was go out into farmers' fields where we saw these green wheel tracks and looked at what sampled in the wheel tracks and outside the wheel tracks. We spent a couple of years spinning our wheels looking at partial pressure of CO2 and soil moisture and so forth. But then we hit on the idea of, let's look at nitrate as a possibility, because there is quite a bit of work in the literature on nitrate and chlorosis. We can see that the pH and calcium carbonate concentration did not change by compaction between the wheel tracks, of course, but we did see soil nitrate difference. We see that there's a significantly higher nitrate between the wheel tracks and the uncompacted soil. In the compacted soil, decreased the nitrate concentration. And this is reflected in large differences in the tissue nitrate. The tissue nitrate was extremely high between the wheel tracks. I think that's a really pretty high value, over 1,000 parts per million, and much less in the wheel tracks. And this was reflected in the difference in plant growth because of the chlorosis. Between the wheel tracks, we had smaller plants. We did do whole plant iron analysis, but as we've seen before, this doesn't give you any useful information. Part of the problem here is that our plants are contaminated with fine soil dust. It's really hard to get off. And if you do these similar experiments in pots, you get much less iron in the plants. Well, what's happening here? Well, in a group in South Dakota some years ago did a study of the effect of these kind of wheel tracks on denitrification and showed that the compaction that results from the wheel tracks increases denitrification. You have lower soil nitrate in the wheel tracks. And if you look over at the right there, you can see the penetrometer data. The blue is the compacted wheel tracks, and the red is the between the wheel tracks. And there's definite compaction from about 10 centimeters down to 40 centimeters. We then set out to do some replicated plot work, testing two hypotheses. The hypotheses were that N fertilizer will increase soil nitrate, resulting in increased IDC. And the other one was that companion planting with oats in the interrow will remove nitrate early in the season, and maybe soil moisture, thus decreasing IDC. Experimental design is we had two sites each in 2006 and 2007. The main plot was plus and minus oats. We split this into three N rates with four row plots. We applied urea and seeded oats at the time of soybean planting. The oats was killed with glyphosate at the third trifoliate stage after plant and soil sampling. This shows you the pH and calcium carbonate content of our soils. The 06 and 07 over on the site designations are for 2006 and 2007. pH value was near 8, as we would expect. Calcium carbonate varied from 6 to up to 30%. Remember that 30% in K07 because that becomes significant in a moment. This shows you a view of one of the sites and you soon after the killing of the oats. And if you look carefully over on the right side there in the lower part of the plot and compare it to the adjacent plot, the oats are more vigorous and more green where there was inter-rows of oats. The soybeans are greener, rather. Did I say oats, I think? Soybeans are greener. In two out of the four sites, we saw a very significant increase in yield due to the interplanting of oats. If you look at the YM06, you can see that N rates were 100, 110, and 220. But going over to the next section in black there without oats, the grain yield, you can see we had pretty good grain yield at zero. Nitrogen, but as we added more nitrogen, the grain yield was decreased. But if you go over to the red and look at the grain yield, you can see that for the plus N plots, we had an increase in yield due to the removal of nitrate by the oats. Now, if you look down in the K07, you look to the grain yield without oats, it was zero. We had nothing. However, when the oats were in there, we had a fairly decent yield at zero added N, and decreasing yield with added N. And then if you look back at the soil nitrate, say with look at YMO6 soil nitrate without oats, you can see it increases greatly with adding nitrogen fertilizer. You expect that. You go and look at the soil nitrate with oats, and there are lower values except for the highest addition of nitrogen. We just overwhelm the oats with the 220 kilograms per hectare. Same, you see the same essential thing for KO7. And KO7, again, was the one with 30% calcium carbonate. It's really a hot spot. We did have problems in one of the sites here, the CO6 site, where we got decreased grain yield due to the oats. And this illustrates the problem with interplanting, using interplanting as a practical solution to chlorosis. You can get competition for water. And we had poor yield of both oats and soybeans because that particular site was low on water early in the season. YMO7, we got the same yield in both with and without oats. This one, for some reason, had very low nitrate compared to the other sites. Must have been denitrification and or leaching losses. So it was really not a good test of what we were looking at here in terms of nitrate. So what is the effect of nitrate on soybeans? How does nitrate affect uptake and utilization of iron? There are two main hypotheses on what is the most important factor. Some people say the most important factor is the bicarbonate that's exchanged with the nitrate when we take up nitrate into the root. This is necessary to maintain charge balance in the plant. The others say, well, that occurs, okay, but the most important factor is immobilization of iron in the leaves due to an increase in apoplastic pH because when you have a lot of nitrate in the leaves like we do, it has to be reduced to ammonium to be taken into the cells. And this takes a lot of protons, raises the pH. So elevated apoplastic pH may be a problem because when you have elevated apoplastic pH, you inhibit the reduction of iron that's necessary for iron to be taken into the cells. But you might have a lot of iron in the leaves, but it's not effective. So in conclusion, we can say that soil nitrate increases IDC intensity. The difference in soil nitrate seem to explain the green wheel tracks. Environmental effects on IDC are complex, and they require an understanding of how much carryover nitrogen we have, how much mineralization may have taken place from the organic end. These are high organic soils. Denitrification and leaching are factors to remove nitrate. And then we can't forget about the effect of soil moisture on bicarbonate once the plants are up and growing. So I thank you for your attention. I'm ready to take any questions.
Time for one quick question, maybe two, but no more.
I see a young lady in the back over there.
I was wondering what your phosphorus levels are, because phosphorus has been known as a safe thing in the
leaves. They're not extreme. We have the data, and I can't remember. John, do you remember what the phosphorus? They were pretty normal for what we see.
Yeah.
Yeah, 15 to 20 parts per million olefin. So there, yeah, that was not a factor. Yeah, there's one over.
Have you looked at the effect of applying ammonia?
Well, this was ammonium, basically. It was urea. So it doesn't make any difference. Nitrification, you can get complete nitrification of your spring application within a couple weeks. You get most of it done in a week. It's really fast. So that's not an issue here.